Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's a breaking ball, hit well, right center field, up the alley, and that one is on its way. All it's right. Gone, and Kyle Schwarber has matched that major league record. His 53rd home run of the season, his 22nd of the year against a left-handed pitcher. And the Phillies jump out to a 1-0 lead.
Well, it was a long time ago, but something tells me if Babe Ruth was alive, he'd be proud of Kyle Schwarber. I mean, 53 homers is something. And by the way, and James is playing a song here from the 70s. I'm sure that group's proud of this squad. Look, we hope this squad can break through like that group did, like the group about 15 years ago, and win it all. Because, Rhea, you know, you've been around here the longest of the four of us. They ultimately will be remembered. Ultimately. For either having won it all or not.
Yeah, the only reason the 93 team is thought of so fondly is because it was unexpected. So,
and
because
it was an era of people who didn't win. Like, long after that, like, people like me and you, that was all we had. We didn't have 80, so I think that adds to the...
It was literally the only thing from after 83 to low 70.
That's my point. That it's all we had, so I think we look at it more fondly.
I agree.
Yeah. So I have a really crazy, I don't know if it's a stat, but it's kind of a stat from OptiStats.
Okay.
So since 1969,
only
one other Major League Baseball team has clinched its division on September 15th or earlier after being five or more games back at the end of any day. Now remember, the Phillies were back by the Mets 5.5 in June. The 1975 Reds clinched on September 7th and went on to win the World Series.
Sure did that year. So, it means you had a heck of a surge.
Yes.
Look, this September thing, it was a little bit late August, was a combination of the Phillies' ridiculous, incredible surge, and the Mets completely collapsed.
Yep.
I mean, they might miss the playoffs. And by the way, the Phillies are in a great spot now for the 2 seed, have a legitimate shot for the 1 seed. Honest to God, while we celebrate the division this morning, to me, the more important thing from last night was they just got another game up on the Dodgers. So they're now 5.5 up with 11 to go, which, Sean, really means we can put that in our back pocket. They're going to get a bye. And now it's just a matter of whether they're the 1 or the 2 seed.
Look, the Dodgers, for whatever reason, I feel confident with the way we match up.
I know you do.
And it's just been that way for a couple years.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot better about the way we match up against them than we do against the Mets even now. But, 5.5 up feels really comfortable.
Yeah, like you're there. You're 5.5 up with 11 to go. You're pretty much there. All right, two other things. So Philly's reaction last night, we're going to play a ton of audio this segment, including interviews with some of the guys after the game, Rob Thompson's toasts and more. But also, A.J. Brown, if you were him, would you be frustrated? I would be. James and I went back and forth earlier, and James is doing the whole, it's about winning ultimately. And
I'm not saying that he's not frustrated. I'm just saying he shouldn't be, is what I'm saying.
And I disagree with that. Yep. So, James and I could not possibly be on more opposite sides on that. Winning matters the most, but individual achievement also matters, I think, a lot. And so if I was AJ, I'd be very frustrated.
Shows the type of people we are.
It probably does.
Me guy, team guy.
Hey, you know what?
I
don't disagree with you, James. All right, one other thing. Let me tell you someone who's a team guy who shouldn't be an announcer guy. One other thing I got to sneak this in.
Oh, you have to sneak this in.
Have to do it.
This is like a big thing getting talked about enough.
This happened last night. You may have missed it because we're all fillied up. If you stayed up late enough to watch the game, and obviously with the Eagles, that's where our minds typically are, September through January, maybe February. Tom Brady last night, as the owner of the Oakland Raiders, was at a Raiders Monday Night Football game. What did he do? He went to the booth where the coaches were up in the press box, up in the box. He put on a headset for the game. He was involved with a headset on of his team. Remember, he's an owner of his team playing a Monday Night Football game, headset on, coaching guy kind of thing, and he's an announcer.
I wouldn't allow him in my building. I wouldn't talk to him Rhea, until I said
I'm taking, it a step further.
Well, he shouldn't be doing it.
Boom, done.
100%.
Boom.
I can't believe these lines are this blurry and that it's allowed.
It shouldn't be allowed. It's crazy.
It's gone this far.
Too far.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the Raiders play Washington this year. The Raiders play us. Like, are we going to let him in the building? Like he just called our game. Did we let him in the building for the game he just called? Yep. Does he know stuff about us for when the Raiders play us?
Can't have both.
I mean, that's crazy.
Can't have both. And listen, maybe he's got to forfeit that $370 million Fox salary and what's remaining of it, which is probably $325 million or something, whatever the hell it is. But you know what? Like, initially, I wasn't that bothered because there were safeguards in place for him to not be involved in certain ways.
And they relaxed them this year, clearly.
They also said
he wasn't going to be involved as much. They're like, oh, you know, he's just a part owner. Like, he's not, like, involved every day. And now it's like he's involved every day.
It may not matter in his world at all, but he may have cost himself $300 million last night.
Well, every owner, every team has to just say no. And the thing is, it's Roger again. They know what the Patriots got away with when he was there. And now it's like, what, we're just going to keep letting him do whatever he wants?
And let me be very clear about this. Magic Johnson, I remember there were times where he was a Lakers owner, part owner, and, you know, he'd be on TNT.
Yeah,
or
ESPN.
And I was okay with that. I was. I mean, it's this is a different level of involvement.
Exactly. I mean, Magic Johnson was not in the locker rooms asking coaches about their games and their game plan and whatever. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Like, and also just the fact that he like threw it in everyone's faces last night.
Yeah.
Like he very easily could have been as involved as he is without sitting in the coach's box, putting a freaking headset on, saying, "Hello, world, I'm involved."
Yeah, it's really something the commissioner should come down on.
It's impossible to draw the lines. It's impossible for us on the outside to understand how they delineate here. Right?
I just hate weak commissioners. Weak commissioners drive me nuts. And I know ultimately the power of the commissioner really stems from the power of the owners and their vision and their heavy-handedness. I just know this. If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I'm saying to Goodell,
Goodell, enough. We got a really weak group. Really weak.
Yeah, weak group of commissioners. But if I'm Lurie, I'm saying to the commissioner, enough. Okay, enough of this charade. 215-592-9494. Certainly that's not our main thing today. The main thing is the Phillies last night won the division. And, of course, the Eagles have a game coming up in 5 days. We'll talk to Nick Sirianni in about an hour. 8:40 Sirianni with us. No Jaws today. So ordinarily, Jaws read at this time. Jaws will be on tomorrow's program. We look forward to his tape breakdown of the Eagles' last game when he joins us tomorrow. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Derek calling from Paoli right now. Derek, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is my thing with you and James was talking about, right? If the Eagles' like offense was clicking on like with the passing game and A.J. wasn't getting the ball, then I could feel how he could be frustrated. But nobody's getting the ball, so it's like – for him to come off, not saying he is or isn't, but if he's displaying that he is, then that's when I would have an issue with it. Because like at this point, nobody's getting the ball. You know
I hear you, but Derek, let me ask you a question. I'm just going to put you right in his shoes. You're A.J. Brown. You're 2-0. You're barely touching the ball. Are you frustrated?
Like I said, no one's touching the ball. So in this situation, I wouldn't be because, like I said, we're 2-0, right? And one more thing, right? Because I saw his little comments, right? And he was saying, like, oh, you know, I don't know if it's sustainable, right? Obviously, it is because the passing game was not really a big thing last year, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl.
Hold on, Derek. It was a huge thing last year. It wasn't that. If you mean big thing, you mean utilized. It was a weakness last year that they overcame late to win the Super Bowl. But it was one of the weakest aspects of their team last year, obviously.
I don't know. I just feel I was just like I wish it was a different. I feel like a lot of people, for whatever reason, like people just don't gravitate to Jalen Hurts like they would like a more vocal quarterback. So I just feel like we put the stuff that A.J. Brown has done and said on the back burner because we don't necessarily like Jalen's personality or he's this or he's that.
I think Jalen's trying to grow in that regard.
But
Derek, let me go back to an earlier point you made because I think there's a key element here to just touch on. You talked about how AJ shouldn't be frustrated or you wouldn't be if you were him because like other guys on this offense aren't getting the ball. If I'm AJ, I'm not comparing myself to freaking Dotson. All due respect, who's going to have 25 catches this year. I'm comparing myself to Ja'Marr Chase, who's going to have 100. I'm comparing myself to Justin Jefferson, who's going to have 125. Like, that's who I'm comparing myself to. And so if I'm on track for like 300 yards for the season, and he's going to beat that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm frustrated. I mean, I'm one of the top five in football, and I don't get to show that. Hell yeah, that would frustrate me.
Last thing, real quick, and thanks for the time. So, you like, when you watch Jalen Hurts play, right?
Yeah.
At one point, him and A.J. Brown, man, they was must-see TV. You
know
what I'm saying?
I know.
Like, they were must-see TV. So, my question is, like, John, what do you think has happened, right?
Great question.
The Seattle game, right, when they threw that ball up, and A.J. was like, that was me and Jalen's idea. It's like, ever since then, their chemistry been a little bit off. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what has happened to make Jalen so reluctant to take those chances that he used to?
Derek, excellent question. John, what do you make of it? Good call, buddy.
We saw in this last game when we were zero blitzed by Steve Spagnuolo, zero blitz meaning there's no safety in the middle to help. You know, it's all out. The way that we tried to win was Jalen put it up to Devontae. It was Devontae one-on-one. Now, normally you can, as a quarterback, the way I've seen that coached is, all right, you're gonna go out there, you're going to pick a side. You're going to decide which side you have the best chance on. So he's picking Devontae for whatever reason. Maybe it's the matchup that Devontae had. You know, the DB that matched up with Devontae. Yeah. Maybe he was the weak link in that secondary, and that's why the ball went
so
there.
I see.
For whatever reason, it hasn't been going to AJ as much as you would like, as much as many would like, as much as fantasy owners.
Yeah.
I'm one of them of AJ,
you got AJ
Brown would like.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, help me win this week.
So who did?
I beat Richie, partially because AJ stunk.
Gotcha. So I actually have a different answer than John on the AJ Jalen thing. Here's my sense. Number one, what happened? Saquon got signed. That's number one. So that's a totally different running back than I've got Miles Sanders or I got DeAndre Swift. That's number one. Number two, fairly early last year, they made a commitment not only because they had Saquon, but I think because Jalen was struggling passing the ball to run it even more. That was the adjustment, if you remember, after the bye week. So I think they leaned even more into let's run it a lot. That's two. Now, what defenses are doing to defend AJ, I can't speak as well to that. That's where I lean on someone like John or Shiel or Jaws when they join us for the complexities of how defenses defend.
He said they're doubling
him. He did say that.
He said the way that they're playing him has been problematic. And that's the way it goes in the NFL.
I think there's two other things here. I think one, I believe Jalen has gotten more conservative the longer he's played. And he was never reckless at all. But he's gotten more conservative.
Conservative is absolutely the word.
Yeah.
And it's he's less willing to force the ball.
Absolutely.
There's no way if there's a chance that he might turn it over, there's no way he's going to make that throw,
right,
especially at this stage of the season when he's really not had the reps with the wide receivers that he, in a month and a half, they're going to be like, finishing each other's sentences.
But it is
strange. And they win by not turning the ball over.
They do.
Like, their
record
when they win the turnover battle is insane. So it's like it's hard to criticize that style of football.
But it is interesting. 22 and
why we are this way.
22 and 23, they were lighting it up together, and they really haven't much last year and certainly not this year. We'll talk to Elliot about the Eagles coming up in about 15 minutes. Let's also give you the Brandon Marsh interview. Phil's won last night. They close out the division. Marsh, one of many people interviewed on TV. Tom McCarthy doing a lot of these interviews. Here's Brandon Marsh last night.
Give me an idea. I mean, we were saying it's like a workman-like celebration. I mean, you guys have been here before. What's it like to keep being back here like this?
It's huge. You know, NL East, it's one of the best divisions in all of baseball. So for us to clinch and take that spot is huge. But we got a long way to go. Job's not done. We're still going for some more things. But
Ben just asked about that. I mean, about going for the number one seed and how important that is. Going for the number one seed, how important that is.
That's huge. We got the best fans in all of baseball, so we need that home field advantage for sure to play at the bank as many times as we can. But we got to take it day by day. We're going to celebrate this one tonight and have some fun.
Chug buddy. The chug buddy's going. All right, thanks, Brandon. We appreciate it.
By the way, I know it's like audio courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Workman-like celebration. I don't know.
For them, it was. That's the funny thing. For them, it was somewhat tame. They're ripping beer bongs, and it's like, yeah. they're taking it easy.
That was still a lot.
That's the point,
and
yes.
The strobe lights were the first thing you see.
John Middleton ripping down beer bongs?
John Middleton. By the way, as far as the one seed goes, which they were just talking about, the Phillies now are a game and a half behind Milwaukee, which equates without them having the tiebreaker to 2.5 back. So they're nipping on the Brewers' heels. Hopefully they can get them. Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
I know we're wall to wall Eagles on WIP most days of the week, but hey, we just won the division
for the 13th in
the history of a franchise. It's been around since 1883.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, division play has only been around since 1969.
Yep.
But, this is a tremendous accomplishment for this team. I mean, it's kind of almost hard to remember where we were in, like, May when, you know, people were, abandoning ship left and right. you specifically called out the skeptics, Joe, and I have been a skeptic about this team's chances to win the World Series all year. I am no longer so skeptical.
Interesting.
It's not because I don't think any of the things that I thought all season about the construction of this team. There's two things that really stick in my head, and this is going to shock you. I don't think you were around for when I said this earlier, but Rob Thompson has done a fantastic job managing this baseball team and should be manager of the year in the National League this year, which is something that, to me, it just proves that you can get better, right? Like the way Kyle Schwarber has gotten better at hitting left-handers and just has gotten better in his approach. And, you know, even at 60 years old, a guy can get better at what he does. And so that's the first part of it, is the job that Topper continues to do managing this team. And then the second part of it is that this is a perfect time for a team like this to win the World Series, because there's really no dominant team out there. Everybody's got their warts. And everybody, you know, everybody's equally vulnerable in some way or another. So at this point this morning, I just woke up. Obviously, I'm not staying up to watch that game last night because I'm, you know, I'm not crazy, I guess. But, you know, I woke up this morning. First thing I did was check my phone, saw they won the division. I gave it a little fist pump. And yeah. I'm pumped, man. We got.
You should be. And Ken, you know what's great? Because you don't always get this, although I feel like we've been pretty fortunate from what I remember through the years. It wasn't like the Mets played at 7 o'clock and lost, and the Phillies won the division as their first inning begins.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
that
was a beautiful thing that the Mets didn't play. And by the way, it was a wild game. I mean, it was a crazy game. Lead changed a bunch, and so for the Phillies to win it the way they did was, I thought a little electrical.
Cool. I thought it was cool and sort of emblematic that Harrison Bader, who I hate to use the term mascot almost for the season or spirit animal for the season, but he was the one who started on second base for the ghost runner in the 10th. It felt like it brought everything full circle for us this year. It could just continues to feel like it, I don't know, it makes sense, like it's fate.
I'm just saying, for a day, let's not worry about if A.J. Brown is sulking, right? We might be 2 months away from a parade down Broad Street.
Listen, Ken, I'll say this, man. My mind and my heart right now are more Phillies this morning than Eagles. Now, we're talking, great call. We're talking about topics, obviously. They're both very notable. But, yeah, if you ask me what's most top of mind, and let's be real, what have we talked the most about in the first hour and 40 minutes of the show? It is the Phillies. I mean, they won the division last night, and it's freaking awesome. And it's the, you know, they win four straight year, they're going to the playoffs and everything that represents. I am interested in the skeptics and the critics of the Phillies this year, if you're still as out as many of you have expressed over the last 5.5 months, 8.5, 9.5 months. You go back to the winter time when there were a lot of people who said, this team can't win the World Series. And I always say, well, they can. I know they can. I don't know that they will. But I certainly know that they can. I mean, they wouldn't have one of the two or three best records in baseball if they were, like, incapable of winning the World Series. Now, look, they got to play better in October. I mean, boom. I mean, that's a very basic way. And the main thing, they have to hit better in October. They have to hit better in October. If you remember last year, the two main things that happened in that Mets series, they didn't hit and the bullpen collapsed. They were two main things.
Epic collapse.
Yeah. By both of them. I mean, Wheeler handed the bullpen a 1-0 lead. It was either the eighth or ninth inning of game one. They lost the game.
Yeah. Or no, was it the ninth? Or no, I think it was the ninth.
I think he went eight innings.
I think he went seven and people wanted him to go the eighth.
He went seven and people wanted him to come out for the eighth.
Anyway, really, really aggravating last year. But they have a shot. Here's what's not aggravating. Coming up in 20 minutes, your chance to hear a name. And with that name, you can win Eagles tickets for the Eagles-Rams game on Friday. You can win the tickets for the game on Sunday. 8 o'clock Tuesday, that's today, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We give you a different name each day leading into every Eagles home game. And with the four names, you can win the tickets this week, of course, with the Eagles and the Rams.
Courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
So make sure you spread the word to your family and friends that 8 o'clock Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, those are the times. I mean, listen, all the time. But if you can only listen certain times, listen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 o'clock, your chance to win Eagles tickets by the end of the week. But obviously, you got to hear all four names to know how to win. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more. In a 2026 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, if you were A.J. Brown, would you be frustrated not getting the ball more while you've got a 2-0 record? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's listen to something Jordan Mulata said last night. Interesting exchange. He's on with Spike and
there's nothing wrong with being frustrated with not getting the ball more.
I agree.
While having a 2-0 record.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, let it be noted.
Yeah. What'd you say, James?
Was it Spike and Elliott he was on with?
Mailata?
I thought he was on.
I think it's Spike and Elliott is the Mailata show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Let's listen to the guys last night. Mailata taking the lead here on some commentary related to Jalen. This was very interesting. An aspect of Hurts' game that Mulata thinks, I believe the phrase he used was major growth, which is good to hear about. Jalen's involvement on the sideline, more demonstrative, more involved, more talking to the guys. Here's Jordan Mulata last night.
Ike has told me a bunch of times about how important that from a quarterback is. For everybody, to sort of take control of everything.
Yeah.
So I think it shows almost a desire to be in control of the game by doing those sorts of things.
I don't think it's a desire to be in control. I think it's just a part of him to just want to lead or to teach or to again be on the same page. I don't think it's a desire for him. It's all he knows. It's like, hey man, like this is going to be an issue. I don't want it to be an issue.
Right.
You know, so it's like, let me address it right now. Now, no one's used to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, like I said, he's done some major growth.
That's pretty good. Some major growth. I mean, you hear that from, I mean, Mulata's been here since Hurts got here. Mulata was what, 2019, I think, maybe even 18.
Sure.
Didn't play for a couple years, but you know he's seen the whole Jalen thing, and so when he says major growth, now obviously we would have played more, but Elliott jumped in with
a
question.
A lot of times
he's telling you major growth. That's good.
I think a lot of times Jordan Mailata has a really unique way of providing us a perspective because it is so, like, he started from such a unique slate.
Sure,
it was so blank, and now it's been so custom created by Jeff Stoutland himself.
But it's not just the play, it's the leadership. I think Mulata's got phenomenal leadership.
Oh my gosh.
Abilities. Well, I mean, you hear it.
That's another aspect.
You hear it.
Yeah, he's naturally just a leader type person, you know, like a talkative, fun, loving type guy, which really lends itself well. But yeah, he's learning from some of the best to do it the way they do it.
Yep.
Like Lane Johnson on the other side. The tackle on the other side is one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
You know, he played for so long across from guys that, you know, D-tack Fletcher Cox, guys.
Well, Kelsey was right there.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Next to Jason Kelce, across from Fletcher Cox, just guys who understand the game and know what it means to be a great teammate and a great person. It goes a long way. A
lot of good stuff here in the Philly sports scene right now. Sirianni with us in about an hour, 8:40 for Nick Sirianni. We'll talk some Eagles with Elliot coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's listen to Harrison Bader as the celebration was on last night in the Phillies locker room. He's made a great difference. I've used the Hunter Pence comparison. He's been even better than Hunter Pence was back in 2011. And frankly, this team needed it more than that team needed it, because that team still had a pretty stacked offense, though they were starting to decline a little bit offensively. But this team, you go back to the summer, man. I mean, there were points of the season where it felt like there was only three guys hitting. It was Trey, it was Bryce when healthy, and it was Schwarber. Like, that was it. And then you had like six or seven guys like not hitting almost at all. Well, a lot of them have come alive. Stock came alive. Marsh came alive. Cassidy has not. But many of them have. JT's played better. Well, Bader's made a heck of a difference. He's excited to be here. He's excited to head to the postseason. Let's listen. NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tom McCarthy with Bader last night.
All right, Harrison. Obviously, this is never gets old. You've done this before in your career. What is it like, though? What's the feeling like to have this celebration?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, that's what you work for. You know what I'm saying? It never gets old. You know, you just work so hard, like, every single at-bat, every single day, and you don't really think about what's next, but, you know, to kind of cross off step one, I think, is just, you know, just a great feeling. So there's a lot more work, but it's nice to just celebrate the small victories. So on to the next one.
I know you can always envision things. Could you have ever envisioned contributing like this? Oh, my goodness. Could you ever envision having this much of an impact so fast?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what I dream about, honestly. It's what I try to visualize every single day and just take it one step at a time. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity, honestly. That's really all there is to it. I think just getting an opportunity is really what it's all about, and just doing your best to run with it as far as you can. So I'm just excited to do it, you know, for an amazing franchise, and just keep winning games, man. That's all there is to it. But I'm thrilled. Every single second here on out is just, it's unbelievable. So I can't believe I'm just excited. Yeah, that's all there is to it.
Listen, dude, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bang!
Bang! I'll tell you what, they weren't holding back, man. I mean, you can hear it. And I know there's some people might say, you know what, I've seen them celebrate three other times, or like 10 other times, depending on how many rounds they won. And it didn't lead to it. You know what, let them have the moment. It took them 151 games. Let them have the moment.
Enjoy it, guys.
Let them have the moment.
You deserve it.
Totally deserve it. And by the way, let's remember, you go back to March, when this thing was just about to start. You look at the odds, they were very split between the Phillies, Mets, and Braves. And the Phillies were not the favorites. They were not the favorites. I mean, the Braves typically win the division. Mets have a payroll of like $77 billion. And I'm not saying the Phillies' payroll is small, but they got it done. Credit to the Phils. And Rob Thompson and his squad, they did a great job. 215-592-9494. In my opinion, of playoff baseball is...
Can't wait!
Now, I know Bart Scott lost the next week when he said that, and then he lost the next week. Hopefully the Phillies don't. But the Phillies are in a good spot. And it's going to be tough without Wheeler, but they can do this. I hope they do. All right, let's get to Jeff in Wilmington. Jeff, good morning.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Jeff.
Pumped up, Jeff.
Those guys should celebrate, man. It's, you know, it's not the same team as it was last year or the year before that or the year before that. Normally at the end of the season or near the end of the season, I look around and see the other teams, and I'm like, there's always one or two other teams that are better in the Phillies, at least in the...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last couple of years, this year I don't have that feeling. This we are that team, and it's built up over the course of the year. It wasn't like that in the very beginning. You know, they had a lot of bad games. They had a lot of guys that were not pulling their weight, so to speak.
Oh, for sure.
But you bring a guy in like Harrison Bader, and with Duran.
Well, Jeff, let me go back. Ruben said. It was either the Ruben or Ben. I think it was Ruben. And I'm going back to like June or July. One of them said they need three players.
It was Ruben.
And you know who they got? They got David Robertson. They got Deron.
Yeah.
And they got Bader. They got three players.
Even a guy like Robertson.
And those guys are three. Those guys, I know Deron hasn't pitched quite as well the last like 2 weeks as the first, you know, two or three, whatever it's been. But those three have been awesome.
Well, and especially with Kirkering, the two right-handed relievers, like he, like, yeah. We don't trust Kirkering, yeah. Do we? Right?
No,
like,
no.
And he's the best right-handed reliever who's not those two guys.
No,
like, without those two guys, they have no right-hander out of the pen you feel good about.
And if you missed it, Kirkering gave up a homer last night. That's part of why the game got an extra innings. So. Yeah.
And you needed a guy like Bader. I mean, he's basically Garrett Stubbs, but with talent. So, you know, he's picked up that bag and carried it.
Garrett Stubbs has talent, man.
No, not much.
Dude,
well, he doesn't.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not for a Major League Baseball player. He's more talented than 99.999% of humans.
Jeff, I'm keeping him around for the playoffs, not to play. But
oh, I know.
He's vibes officer.
He's exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wears the bibs. He wears the bibs really good. I get it. Good. Probably a good dude. Probably a hell of a dude.
We interviewed him one time. Seemed like a great guy. Both on and off the air, seemed like a great guy. You know, you know what, Jeff? You know what you typically see in sports? Backup catchers and backup point guards, like third-string point guards in basketball, they're usually pros. Because coaches don't want – like, you know, the Kevin Ollies of the world who were around forever. You're a third-string backup running point guard because, you know, the coach can trust you. You're not a pain in the ass. You're not going to complain when you don't play. You see that all the time with third-string point guards and backup catchers.
No, they don't have enough talent to get away with it. Anything, you know, like they, you know, like we've talked the Emmett Smith story with Jimmy Johnson. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. What's your other point, quickly?
I would be upset if I were AJ, but I'm more like where James is for the whole passing game because there's been one common denominator for the last 4 years with this passing game, and it's Kevin Petullo. He was a passing game coordinator.
I mean, there's a couple common denominators. All right, Jeff, good. No, I mean, Hurts has been here the whole time. Sirianni's been here the whole time. You can't say he's the only common denominator. All right, let's talk to Elliot Short Parks. He's brought to us, as always, by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. I'm going to start with a cynic's question. Elliot, tell me it's going to be different this October. Tell me they're going to go all the way.
I mean, look, they certainly
that could be
are
an optimistic
well.
Question. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're playing well. The vibes are high, but I'll be honest, and I know this is not a popular opinion. Mm-hmm. Like I truly view them like the Sixers at this point. I talk myself.
Elliot's
into
one of the can't win people.
That's
Joe.
Not fair.
Elliot's one of them.
Not only is it not accurate, it's actually not fair. The Phillies have done
I think
so
it's
much
completely
more.
Completely fair. No, they've done 1 year more. They choked against the Diamondbacks. They were
they've
bad
gotten
against the
Mets in 3 years in the playoffs. They've already gotten further than the Sixers have twice, two times. They got the World Series and a championship round. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's an unacceptable
This is
opinion,
nonsense.
Elliot.
Yeah, Elliot, no, give me the moment give me the moment in the 7 years Sixers made the playoffs. Give me the moment when you were really, really proud.
No, I'm not disputing it. The Phillies have done more than the Sixers.
Okay.
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is, we know that with this team, it is about the playoffs like it was with the Sixers. So they can play great in the regular season. I'm just not going to believe it until I see the bats do something again in the playoffs.
That's fine. That's fair. I will vibe with that. I mean, I put more stock in the regular season. I appreciate the journey knowing my team probably won't win it all. And I don't rip up the piece of paper and throw it in the trash like it was garbage. But I get your point. For those that are saying it's all about October, that does still remain a big question mark of how they will do. I understand that. All right. Let's talk some Eagles. And, of course, everything we're discussing today, everyone can weigh in on it at 215-592-9494. Elliot, the passing game. Why has it been – I'd say last year it was pedestrian for good chunks of the regular season. This year I would say it's been lame. Why?
It's a great question. I mean, I think when the passing game is this bad, you cannot pin it on one single person. I don't think it is Kevin Petullo. I don't think it is one singular player. But if I had to divide the blame chart amongst, you know, a pie, I think the most would go to Jalen. And the reason for that is I just think simplistically, when the offense is playing well, it's the quarterback. When the offense is playing bad, it's the quarterback. The type of offense they run, for everybody that's saying it's a vanilla scheme, it looks boring, they run the type of plays and offense that they want to run for Jalen, that Jalen wants to run. So when I rewatched this game this past Sunday, I saw opportunities where I felt Jalen could have got rid of the ball and he didn't. And it looked similar to last year to me, where it's not egregious, but it's a half a second where he's holding it. AJ's open, and then because he's holding it, AJ is no longer open. And I'm not saying guys were running free, but to me, it just looked like last year when the passing game was struggling. It didn't look like a new problem.
There's a strong sentiment out there, Elliot, that the offense is just too predictable. What do you say to that? Is that the root of the problem here?
I think they've always run a very similar offense. Like last year, they were running similar things to what they were running this year. In 2023, when everybody was mad about Brian Johnson, I think they've become better against the blitz. But they've always run similar route combinations. They've always had their receivers run similar things. So you can say it's predictable since there's not been huge changes, but it works when the players are executing. I mean, that's the thing I feel I've learned about Nick Sirianni and the type of team he runs is he's just not like a super intricate X's and O's guy. He is a like execute guy. Like they will run routes that if you use them correctly and the players with the talent they have execute them, you see the ball move. We saw it last year. We saw it in 2022. It's just, to me, this feels similar to 2023 when everybody wants to blame the new coordinator because it's the easy thing to do. But the players are just not executing. And it's not just Jalen. Like a good example in this past game was the first game, the first play of the game, right? They spend all week prepping for it. They're ready to go. They get A.J. Brown wide open down the right sideline for a touchdown. If they can get it to him, it's a touchdown. But the blockers miss. Someone gets free to Jalen. Jalen steps up in the pocket and fumbles it. So, like, the players just have to execute. The talent is there. It's not the play caller. It's the players.
Ellie, let's talk about something that's been really good. By the way, reminder to everyone, in 4 minutes, your chance to hear a name. And with that name, Friday on our show, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Rams game.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
So don't go anywhere. Hear that name in 4 minutes and win these tickets this week. Eagles-Rams, those tickets given away on Friday. Listen to the name in a couple minutes. Ellie, let's talk about something that's a real positive. John called it. I didn't think he was right. So far, he certainly is. The defense is way better than I thought they would be. Talk to us.
Yeah, the defense has been outstanding. And I think you're seeing the benefit of continuity on the defensive side of the ball that you were hoping you would see on the offensive side of the ball. Having Vic back for a second year, and they certainly have a decent amount of new starters, far more new starters than the offense has. But I just think with a year under their belt, for especially guys like Quinion and Cooper, I think Nolan Smith has been good. I think their edges, especially now with Za'Darius Smith, have been better, but just in the second year of the Vic Fangio system, you're already seeing him be able to do things he probably couldn't do last year. He blitzed way more on Sunday than he has in the past. So I just think that continuity from one year to the other has really paid off on the defensive
side of the ball. I'm with you on that, but let me take it in another direction because I think a lot of this goes back to Howie. 2023, his replacements of the 22 guys stunk. Okay, they stunk. His replacements this year of the guys from last year that left, I know we're still shaky at the one corner spot the way we all look at it, but it looks like Makuba can play. Anaya Smith looks like he can play. Jahad Campbell absolutely can play. I mean, at a very basic level, it just looks to me, Elliot, like he did.
I don't know about Anaya Smith.
His name? What's the guy's name? Smith. The end.
Nolan.
Oh, Za'Darius.
Za'Darius Smith. Yeah. No, not Nolan Smith. The guy that played last week, the vet. My point is, it just looks like the guys he brought in are better than the guys he brought in 2 years ago when the whole defense collapsed.
Yeah, and, Za'Darius Smith is looking through one game to be, like, a very seriously good addition to this team, not only on the field. The fact on the field, he certainly made an impact in this last game. But just being around him last week, I do think he is going to be a major addition to this locker room. He has a big personality. You can already see him interacting with the players. Put him in the same locker that Brandon Graham was in. They want him to play that type of role. And I think he has the perfect amount of resume and experience to fill that role. Obviously, it'll never be another true Brandon Graham. He's a special person, and he was a special in that locker room. But Za'Darius Smith has a resume. He has experience. He has the age that the other edges don't have. And so just, it's only 1 week, but it does look like this is going to be a very good signing by Howie.
That's awesome. That's really cool to hear that he's taking on a leadership spot already. It's kind of, is this just yet another example of, we heard Clowney is now signed on in Dallas. Za'Darius Smith, is this just what these top, older edge guys do now? They don't want to really go to training camp and they wait and they see who who needs an edge guy when it's all said and done? Stay in shape a little bit, run on the treadmill in the home gym, and then sign a big one-year deal year after year.
Well, John, David Robinson just did it with the Phillies also.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an edge thing. I think it's an old person thing. I think it's just a smart person thing to do. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, getting them fresh is definitely a positive.
Elliot, sure is helping our team.
Sure is. Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles and Rams. We haven't gotten too far. Actually, real quick, before we do that, let me give people an opportunity to win tickets to the Eagles and Rams. You got to know the name in order to win the tickets.
And the name is...
Saquon Barkley. Why? Because last year he had freaking 7 million yards against the Rams in two games. His personal high, what was it, 255 last year in the regular season?
255, yeah.
And then in the snow, I mean, my God. All right, know the name on Friday, Saquon Barkley. Now we're going to give you three other names, one tomorrow, one Thursday, one Friday at 8 o'clock. All together, know the four names. And with the four names on Friday, when we give you the cue to call the contest line, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Rams game.
And we will thank NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, for those tickets.
We sure do thank them. All right, Elliot, let's talk Eagles-Rams. Couple teams 2-0 in the conference. Eagles obviously notably are one. Green Bay is one. Tampa got a win last night. Baker Mayfield has really done a nice job with his career getting on track. And the Rams are another one of the six. Which team's the best 2-0 team?
I think it's the Packers. I think the Packers are the best 2-0 team right now. I think they have the most talent on their roster. I think they're playing the best. I think that with the addition of Micah Parsons, you can feel almost a specialness there in terms of their season. I don't want to compare it completely to T.O. because I think that was a different situation. But when the Eagles added T.O. in 2004, you could just feel like, okay, this is the year. This is the piece to go get it. And I can just see that Micah Parsons going there has made the Packers believe. So I still think the Packers are the best 2-0 team. After that, you know, I still think the Eagles probably deserve the benefit of the doubt. They're certainly not playing like the best 2-0 team, no question about that. But they do have a ton of talent, and I think you still have to take into account like what they've accomplished. So I would go Packers, I would go Eagles, and then I would probably put the Rams third.
The Rams, did they get a similar infusion? Davante Adams has to give them a similar infusion of, I don't know, confidence and talent and excitement that Micah Parsons on the defense gave Green Bay. Have you seen anything along those lines? Should we be concerned on that front, Elliot?
Yeah, so I don't view it as similar. I think Davante is not at a similar point in his career to Micah Parsons. I mean, they might view it that way internally, and they certainly have every right to do that. But from the outside looking in, I don't view it as the same type of addition. I think with the Rams, they obviously have a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. That defensive line is a real problem. It's one of the few defensive lines in that playoff game. I know in the first matchup they did well. But in the playoff game, they gave the Eagles offensive line some real problems. And talking to Jordan Mailata about it, like the way he talks about Jared Verse, you can just tell he views him. I'm not trying to say like at a Micah Parsons level, but he has a ton of respect for that guy. It was a really good matchup. So when I think of the Rams, yes, people still think of that offense, but that defensive line is super good. So it's a really, really good test for the Eagles offense and their offensive line this weekend.
If I'm remembering right, last year in the playoffs, Elliot, I think it was 8 sacks by the Rams in that playoff game.
Yeah, it was either 7 or 8, but it was. Yeah. Look, Jalen held responsibility for those two. It's not all on the offensive
line.
But
to be fair, Jalen got banged up with the knee, and that affected his mobility. I mean, that's why the sack happened. He couldn't move in the end zone. All right, Elliot, excellent work. We'll talk to you later in the week. Great stuff as always. Thanks, bud.
Yep, talk to you guys soon.
All right, there's Elliot Shore Parks. You can react on the Eagles front, everything going on there. Also, the Phillies, who last night clinched the division. Let's listen to Rob Thompson. We've gotten used to his toast, and, of course, JT always giving him the assist. You don't know how many games are technically left to win, that they have to win, because you don't know yet if they're going to get the bye or not. They probably will with the victory last night, 5.5 up on the Dodgers with 11 games to go. So they're extremely, extremely likely to get that bye. But let's listen to Rob Thompson, a little assist from JT, locker room postgame.
Toughness, resiliency, how you respond day after day, inning by inning. I mean, we've had all kinds of adversity this year with travel and rain delays and injuries, and you guys have fought right through it. So this is for all of you, all the staff, the guys that we've left behind, Wheeler, Alvarado, Trey, Romano. They couldn't be here. the guys that have come up from Lehigh Valley and helped us out. This is a great team effort. Great team effort. Back-to-back National League East champions. That's too often, boys. So enjoy it. JT, how many we got left, buddy?
Whatever the hell it takes, Tom. Right.
They got after it hard last night. I mean, that was...
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I love it.
They deserve it.
I love it. They clinched in the 151st game. The soonest the Phillies had ever clinched was 150 games. So this time they get it done in 151 games. It's also, though, the earliest on the calendar they've ever clinched. Some would say September 15th, but knowing the game ended after midnight last night, I'd say September 16th. All right, one more thing, and then to the phones. Schwarber. He's been their best hitter this year.
15th in the West Coast. It's actually confusing because it wasn't midnight here, you know?
James, look at you.
That's like a good both days, I guess, right?
Look at you. Not bad, James. All right, let's listen to Kyle Schwarber postgame. Tom McCarthy on NBC Sports Philadelphia conducting the interview. Schwarber obviously excited. By the way, he's been in the playoffs all but 1 year of his career. The guy lives in the postseason. It's like Robert Ori, except he doesn't have the seven titles. He's got one. One title, right, James? The Cubs one. Here is Kyle Schwarber last night.
I would think cigars are good, beer is good. Does it taste even better when you do something like this?
Everything's awesome right now. I mean, done so much throughout the year to get this point, and you know, you want to enjoy it. It doesn't happen often, and when it does happen, you want to celebrate it. And this is a goal that we accomplished. We set that from beginning of spring training. Yeah. That, you know, this is where we wanted to be, and we got here, and now we got to keep going.
Give me an idea of what it was like, because you were in the dugout at the end. What it was like in the dugout, and how tense this kind of game was.
Yeah, I mean, that was a playoff style baseball game right there, where you know it's back and forth, and you get into the late innings. We did such a great job there in the 10th inning, where such a great job. I mean, I didn't get the job done there. I'm trying to get the runner over, and to Chawak Harp, they do a double steal, executed perfectly. JT gets the job done, and D-Rob came in and shut it down from there, and he did such a great job. But this is a great overall baseball game, and you know, we should be proud of where we're at right now.
I know you said yesterday you wanted to do it at home, but this is still a great gift for the city of Philadelphia too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's what a great time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. I feel like we're just getting going here. You know, we want to finish this thing off, but it's a step at a time for us. You know, we got a lot of other things to do. We got more baseball to play. You know, we got a lockdown to buy, but we just got to keep going day by day. And whenever that step comes to the playoffs, we're going to be ready for that. And we just got to keep going, and can't wait to get back at the bank and get those crazy animals going.
All right, go enjoy. Thanks, Kyle.
Appreciate it.
Now, that's Kyle Schwarber last night, NBC Sports Philadelphia with T-Mac. One more thing, and then right to the phones. I mean, I just got to speak from my heart for a sec, because for me, this is a tremendous source of pride to see our club play this way and achieve this. And I know there are a lot out there, maybe a couple million, that it's all about October. It's not all about October. And I'll just say this. It's obviously, October's got a huge say in this, and it's how ultimately we will truly remember this squad. But I know this. Let's talk about months. I know I grew up with more years in my life than not when it was over May 15th. Like, it was over. Like, the season still had 4.5 months to go, but you knew on May 15th your squad had no shot. I could rattle off years. Let's not talk about 1996, but I could. Like, there were years when
Welcome
it was just...
Welcome to the season. It's over tomorrow.
Right? I mean, Rhea, you know.
Oh, I lived it.
You lived it.
Believe me.
So, like, I feel appreciation when I've got a squad not only that gives us a fun 6 months, but gives us hope for a seventh month, and in this case, achievement that they will play in that seventh month. And they do have a chance to win it all. I don't care what anybody Indeed. Says with the naysayer. They can't. No, you're wrong. They can. I can't prove to you that they will, but I know this. They can. They wouldn't be on their way close to 100 wins if they couldn't win the World Series. All right? They're probably going to finish with somewhere between 96 to 98 wins. Like, they can win the World Series. Let's go to the phones. Rob in South Jersey. Rob, good morning.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, big day in Philly land. I wasn't able to stay up last night, a little bit past my bedtime, but woke up to the good news. I was, like, blocking off the inning by inning. I knew they were down 2-1. Yeah. I, like, covered up with my hand, and then I saw a 6-5 win. It's good stuff to see.
That's funny. That I like funny. That you did that.
That is funny. And by the way,
it's the suspense yeah. alive.
And low, like, a low-level topic within the game, but it's worth saying, Ranger was pretty good. He wasn't great. But, I mean, there are a couple players I'm really focused on down the stretch. And Ranger is one of them because you know he's going to start either game two or game three. And it looks like he is pretty freaking dialed in. Not exceptional last night, but trustworthy, which he was not about 2 months ago.
Yeah, Joe, you're stealing my thunder a little bit. That's exactly why I was calling. Like, you know, we all are aware of Ranger's second half history, especially last year, you know, being in the bullpen a couple years ago. So to have, you know, a bona fide number two, I don't think, like you just said, he is far and away the number two. There's a few things I want to say. One is I called you the day before opening day, and you guys are talking about how some people, I know we were coming off the Super Bowl parade, everybody was so happy, but there was no excitement for the Phillies. And you weren't saying that, but that's what a lot of people were saying. And I never understood that. Like, for 4 years in a row now, this is one of the best teams in baseball. All you can do in sports with a front office, nobody can guarantee a championship. All you can do is give your team and your city a shot, and this organization has done it, especially in baseball. Baseball's crazy. The Pirates just swept the Dodgers. The Pirates swept the Phillies. Yeah. It's hard to win in baseball consistently. So I just want to say I do appreciate the Phillies, appreciate the front office, and what they've given us, especially after, you know.
Well, Rob, I agree with that, but I'm going to say this on behalf of the cynics, because I'm not a cynic, but it's how I feel, and Rob, good call. I'm not a cynic, but I will say this. I need the hitters to hit, and I need Rob Thompson to not screw it up, because I've seen both things be a freaking problem in October, and I'm a big Rob Thompson guy, but he's had some whoppers in October in playoff baseball that has, I think, cost them seasons and ultimately a chance to win a World Series. He's got to not screw it up. And the guys that have been hitting lately have got to keep hitting. Joe to camera, John Ritchie. All right, a ton going on. More audio from the locker room after the game. Nick Sirianni, he joins us coming up at 8:40 on his 2-0 Eagles. That and more. Phone calls on all these topics on 94 WIP. All right, let's talk about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino as they get you ready for kickoff for week 3 of pro football. Of course, another week of college football. And so many ways you can win and win big at FanDuel.com/hammer, including the opportunity for new customers to bet just $5, and with that $5 bet, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. It's an incredible deal, really. Think about it. $5 bet. I mean, you can bet more than $5 if you want. But if you want to bet just as little as $5 with a first bet and a win, you will get $300 in bonus bets. An incredible opportunity with FanDuel.com/hammer. Whether it's, you know, parlays or over-unders or point spreads or player props, whichever way you want to go, it's all available for you. Philadelphia and Los Angeles, obviously up ahead in 5 days. That game, any of the games, all there at FanDuel.com/hammer.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.